RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
And by Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter. Let Camp Cabela's help get you ready for your next great camping adventure at cabelas.com.
And by Instagon Multi-Purpose Stain Remover. To tackle your toughest RV cleaning and stain removing problems, visit instagon.com. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are finally doing a complete episode on one of our favorite locations, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We first visited this area in spring of 2014, and since then we have found ourselves returning again and again.
Sure, there's plenty of tourist attractions along the famous Grand Strand, but did you also know there is a world of outdoor adventure and natural beauty?
You might think Myrtle Beach is just an endless stretch of mini golf courses and overpriced seafood buffets, but we know that this place has all the trappings of a perfect RV destination. You are listening to episode 115, Greetings from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Greetings from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we have our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Progressive Insurance.
When you sign up for an RV policy, you can also sign up for total loss replacement, which is optional protection that replaces your new RV with a current model if it's declared a total loss in the first 2 years. Get a quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV today.
And check out all our great blog posts for Lifelines, the Progressive blog.
Yep, got some new ones up there.
It's a body of work there at this point.
You have to scroll down to see them all.
So in case you missed the big news from yesterday, we did another Facebook Live chat for Go RVing. If you did miss it, you can still head on over to their Facebook page, and it's sitting right there for you to watch. And we had a good time doing it.
Yeah, or you can go over to our Facebook page, too. We shared it onto ours, and you can watch the video from that.
Yeah, and if you missed Girl Camper this week, she had on Walter Cannon, who is just a charmer. I mean, the guy graduated from charm school, and he knows a couple things about RVing.
I was going to say, more importantly than being charming, is he has a lot of information. And this is new information. The last time that Walter Cannon was on Girl Camper, he was talking about matching tow vehicles to trailers, which is super important information that some people kind of gloss over. But this time, he's really talking about some other basic, now, Janine calls them Girl Camper questions, but the bottom line is that this is one of those episodes that is for every single person.
Listen
out
to the
there.
Whole episode. Every single piece of information is relevant for all of us. So head on over to Girl Camper and subscribe if you hadn't subscribed. I mean, it's just a great show. Janine is just like, we love Janine.
And speaking of great shows, we also, of course, have Campground of the Week. All right. So this episode is Greetings from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is another one of our paired episodes, okay? So we have over on Campground of the Week a review of the Myrtle Beach KOA, which is a great campground that you can stay at if you're visiting Myrtle Beach. So you can go over and listen to the campground review over there. Today on this podcast, we are going to be really doing a travel guide to everything else in the area. The two go together. You got to listen to them both to get the complete picture.
And now we haven't done everything, but after four trips to Myrtle Beach, we've done almost everything.
Yeah. And on top of just taking four trips there, we've also done it during different times of the year. So we've really gotten we've traveled there for three seasons. We've never been there in the winter, but we've been there in the spring, summer, and the fall. So we've really gotten a good overview of the location in all different types, you know, times of the year.
Yeah. Now on Campground of the Week, we did the Myrtle Beach KOA, but we also want to point out there's some other good options for camping in Myrtle Beach. I mean, we definitely recommend Huntington Beach State Park. We definitely recommend Myrtle Beach State Park, and we definitely recommend Ocean Lakes, all of which are directly on the beach, right? Where Myrtle Beach KOA is 3 blocks away with shuttle service. These are 3 other good options on the beach. And there are other campgrounds beyond that that people really like, but we have never physically visited them, so we can't recommend or not recommend.
There are a lot of camping options in Myrtle Beach, and it can be a little overwhelming for some people when they're first planning a trip to kind of navigate the choices. We have, you know, interacted. We've heard feedback from a ton of our listeners. We've been there a lot. We've driven through campgrounds. We really feel comfortable that we are mentioning the cream of the crop, like the best of the best. And there are some other people that have favorites. But the thing that you need to know, I want to say about the Ocean Lakes, which is another favorite campground down there, private favorite campground that people stay at, is we said it's on the beach. It has that sort of more city-like environment that a lot of people love, like a resort, bustling golf carts everywhere. People love it and they go there. But if you know, are trying to make the decision, and we have people that email us and say, I'm trying to decide between, you know, this campground and this campground. If you're trying to make the decision between the Myrtle Beach KOA and Ocean Lakes, know that one has a much more quiet sort of tucked away feel. The other has a bustling right on the beach. That camper is right next to you.
People rave about how much there is to do there, how many activities, the food service, the pools, all that stuff. So, I mean, I think that people end up kind of picking a favorite at Myrtle Beach and just keep going back to it. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's that many people that like, let me try all the great campgrounds at Myrtle Beach. So, you know, a lot of people have different favorites. Our favorite has been the Myrtle Beach KOA, but we readily admit that this is a campground-rich area with lots of good choices.
And then the Huntington Beach State Park campground and the Myrtle Beach State Park campground, you're going to get that tucked away, sleepy, quiet feeling, and you're going to be right on the beach, but you better make those campground reservations far in advance. You are not going to call up and get a site that is right there on the beach like in a couple of months prior to your vacation.
Yeah, and you're going to save money, but you're not going to have the pools and the bounce pillows and the food service and all that stuff too. So you have a wide variety of choices. No matter what your style of camping, you can find something great in Myrtle Beach. We are confident of that fact.
And then the rest of this episode is going to be focused on what you are going to do while you have already parked your rig in your campground of choice, one of the wonderful options that are available down there. What are you going to do once you get there?
And there's so much to do. It's almost confusing. So we're going to help you sort it all out when we come back in a second.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment one of our episode, Greetings from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. But first, a sponsored message from our good friends at Cabela's.
This segment is sponsored by Cabela's, which is the world's foremost outfitter. Cabela's is passionate about supporting families in the outdoors, and they have all the gear that you need to make camping fun and comfortable. Some of the best moments of our lives are spent around a crackling campfire, sitting beside family and friends. Visit Cabela's.com and start making memories that will be treasured for generations. Cabela's, it's in your nature.
And I want to go there and do some Christmas shopping quick.
Yeah, I know. You've been trying to get that on the schedule.
I don't want to wait till the last second. I want to get to Cabela's on a Saturday or Sunday, have lunch there, and get a bunch of Christmas shopping done. Are you game for that, Stephanie?
I'm telling you, I'm game for that. Get it on the calendar. The calendar, this is what happens this time of year. Everybody knows that the calendar fills up.
Yeah, and Cabela's for us is like a nice day trip. You know, you got to have a little lunch, you got to have a little time to relax. All right, so we're going to get there soon and do a little Christmas shopping. Now let's dive into activities in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We're going to break it into 3 segments: on the strand, off the strand, and food. So why don't we start with on the strand? And Stephanie, can you just break down a little bit like what that means, on the strand?
Yeah, I mean, we made on the strand up, of course. The Grand Strand, you know, is that strip, King's Highway. And, you know, it's bustling and it's boardwalky and it has the rides and all of the touristy attractions. And, you know, it's really the part of Myrtle Beach that I pictured before we ever went down there for our first trip. And I thought that it was all like that. What we discovered is that I say that there's many faces to Myrtle Beach. That's kind of how I think about it. And you can kind of like jump back and forth between these different worlds while you're visiting there. But, you know, one of the things that we found with the boys is we've really enjoyed this sort of, I would say, dipping our toes into the On the Strand world, right? What we do when we visit Myrtle Beach is we kind of pick and choose. There are so many of these big, bold, shiny tourist attractions.
Which frankly costs money too.
Yes, yes. And we'll talk a little bit more about that because I have some advice for that. But, you know, we kind of like every time we go, we just pick a couple that we want to just go in, and we do, right? And then we go back to the campground or back to the beach.
When we think Myrtle Beach, we really have no desire to be spending our whole trip there on the boardwalk, spending money doing all of these crazy activities, partly because we grew up at the Jersey Shore and we live at the Jersey Shore and we have some similar stuff. So we like to kind of pick and choose. So here are our favorite things on the Strand that we really recommend. And for your week-long vacation, you might just want to pick one or two or three, but here's all the ones we've done over four trips that we really loved. I think the Skywheel is an obvious starting point for a family.
Yeah, I dragged you to this the first time we went. I was like, I really want to do this, but the Skywheel is just an enormous Ferris wheel. It is right in the heart of Myrtle Beach. It is right on the boardwalk. And you get your own little, like, you know, Ferris wheel container. I don't even know what that's called.
It's a Ferris wheel container. It's like a container of milk, but
it is all enclosed. And so it's glass all around. So
great
views.
Just
get a fantastic view and you go up. And the ride, I think, is long enough to really soak in the views. And then on top of that, you kind of get the, like, they hit the pause button, right, for everybody.
And if you're scared of heights, you might not like this in general,
yeah,
and you might
not
like the pause button because it goes up there pretty
high. I mean, please, if you're scared
of heights. But it's because of how much, why I'm saying that is because of how much glass there is, and you sort of look down, and you're just looking straight down as well. So just be cautious if you're scared of heights, but this is a really terrific thing. It's also great to take pictures of just from the boardwalk or at night. It's sort of one of those definitive, iconic things in Myrtle Beach.
Right, so you can do this at night too, and all the lights are on, and you can see, but we've always gone actually right at, it opens at 11, which is kind of, you know, it's a little bit late in the morning. But we have gone at that time, sort of right at that opening time every time we've done this because there's no lines, there's no crowds. You kind of get, I don't know, I'm sure it's timed, but to me, you kind of get that beautiful sun is still over the ocean. And I think it's a nice time.
It's a nice introduction because you see everything that you're going to be visiting.
Yeah.
Right? You look around, you're like, okay, here I am. And this is where I'm going to be exploring for the next week.
That's what I posted on I think when we posted on Instagram or something, I said, like, it is one of those things that I like to do when we first get there. It's like one of those, this is where we are moments. Like I mentioned that with Cape Cod, it was going to the baseball game. It's like, let's get rooted in the place we are. And like, what is a quintessentially, you know, Myrtle Beach activity? The Skywheel.
Now, another quintessential activity is ziplining. And this is, they have a really great zip line right up by the beach. And you see the ocean while you're ziplining. It's not the most long or radical course there is. It's almost like a really good beginner zip line, but it's cool and it's fun and it's reasonably priced and it's right up at the beach.
Yeah, it's right there in the heart of it and you do get the nice view. It is not the hot, you know, it's not a zip line course. It is a zip line. And you can also pair it with like this little, you know, like a bungee jumper. You know, but it's basically, you have to think about it like a ride. You know, not an event. Like a lot of zip lines you do, like I've done zip lining in New Hampshire or North Carolina. Those are like half day events. This is just a ride. And you go and you pay for the ride. You can get two zips, the package of like two zips and everything. And it's fun. And I like this better. You can also zip line at Broadway at the beach, which we'll talk about a little later in this segment. I like the whole standing up on the platform, seeing the ocean. I don't know. I think it's kind of special.
It's a cool setting. Yeah. I've taken some great pictures of it. It's something that would be nice to couple with the Skywheel, you know, maybe for a morning. You could do both, and that's your first morning in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, and it's right there, next to each other. Now, another thing that's there is the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum, and this is going to be one of those things that for our listeners are going to be a take it or a leave it kind of a thing.
I think most people will know if this is something they'd like in advance. I don't think you'll go through and be confused. I mean, if you like things that are a little bit weird, a little bit strange, a little bit spooky, a little bit gross, a little bit gauche.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how else to describe it. Then this is fun. You know, this is definitely a fun time. Other people might think it's a waste of time.
Right. So, and also it's always good to have a little short list of activities that are good for rainy, you know, not for nice rain, weather yeah. days.
It's a good rainy day.
So when we go somewhere, usually I have a short list of things that I'm not like desperate to do, but if there's a time it fits into,
it's
or
in the
if there's
pocket.
A rainy day, that's what we're going to do. This might fall on that, you know, which for us, our 7-year-olds have just entered into this world where they're kind of like, they really enjoy it when we just throw out these experiences that they haven't had yet. And this is one of those types of things.
And something that's sort of in line with this was the Hollywood Wax Museum, which was a smash, a sensation with our kids, a no-brainer. I got to be honest, I didn't think we would like it as much as we did. We all had a good time.
Yeah. So this is out. Like I said, I mentioned we were going to talk about Broadway at the Beach. There's a whole section of Myrtle Beach that has, it's like a little bit off the boardwalk. Okay. And it's not really on the beach. Okay. It's a little bit of a drive away. And this is like one of those towns practically of stores and events and restaurants, and it's just kind of like built, you know, out there. It's definitely a planned area
and
for
you could
Myrtle
spend
Beach.
A lot of money there.
Yes, every like big ticket item that you want to do in Myrtle Beach is out here at this Broadway at the Beach area. And the Hollywood Wax Museum is there. We were going to, we'll talk about Legends, the Legends concert. And I thought, well, that would be a nice thing to pair with the
thematically,
wax.
Thematically,
yeah,
right? In
I
the
like
Wax
the
Museum,
idea.
We were taking pictures of us and Humphrey Bogart mm-hmm. and us and Lucille Ball and actually talking to the boys and introducing them to who these people are. And it's not just the wax statues there. There are some other really fun things to do. There was that laser game where you got to jump through the lasers
thing.
Based on the movie Entrapment, that classic with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That was their favorite thing.
It might have been their favorite thing from the week.
That was their favorite thing from the entire trip. If you ask them what they most enjoyed, they will say the Wax Museum and they will say the Laser Room, and they could have stayed there for hours.
And the Hall of Mirrors was pretty cool too mm-hmm. in the Hollywood Wax Museum.
That like freaked them out too.
And we got the family portrait with King Kong, which is like the nicest family portrait we've ever had. One of those where they snap the photo and you pay $18.
And we had to. It was such a funny picture.
It was such a great picture of him. It's on our Instagram. It's like we had to buy it.
And we never buy those. Not that we never. Our boys beg for us to buy
those. One other time
we
bought. Yeah, the boys want to buy one at every single place.
So the Wax Museum, again, sometimes your kids are at a certain age where you feel like this is not something they've ever done before, and I'm going to introduce it to them, and they're going to, you know, I think they're going to love it, and they did. So it may be that time for
you. For you, though, it was like you were setting it up as an appetizer for the main event, which was the Legends concert. And once again, Stephanie's constantly picking things that I think will be cute and okay and that are amazing. The Legends concert in Myrtle Beach was a travel highlight for me in our whole time RVing. We got to see Whitney Houston, Little Richard, mm-hmm. Johnny Cash, Frank Sinatra, and Elvis Presley impersonators. Yeah. And they were all awesome, awesome.
We have never been to a show of impersonators. We've never done that, I don't think. In my life, I don't think I've ever seen an impersonator live. And our boys happened to be going through a big Elvis stage.
Thank you, SiriusXM Satellite Radio.
I think we've mentioned that on the show before. They're big Elvis fans. They're just really into him. And I found out that Elvis was one of the performers at the show. And part of one of the things that I wanted to do on this trip was to really see the show side.
There's a real
of
show
Myrtle
culture
Beach,
in Myrtle Beach that we had never tapped into before. Mm-hmm. So you picked this one for us.
Yeah.
And it was a smash. I mean, Elvis was so talented. He could sing. He could dance. He put on a real show. Sinatra, great voice. He could sing. He had Sinatra style. He had Sinatra swagger. Johnny Cash may have been your favorite.
Johnny Cash just had this effect on me because I felt like he was so good.
He channeled Johnny Cash. That's what these impersonators do.
I got chills at one point when he was like singing one of the songs. I don't remember. And I was just like, this is so weird.
And this is at the end of the day, this is what it comes down to for me. I always thought of these types of impersonators as being kitschy, But that's not it. They're really, really talented, and they sort of channel the spirit and the talent of the people they're impersonating. Obviously, these were really good ones. This was an Elvis who had like won awards for, you know, best Elvis impersonator. Yeah. This is the cream of the crop in that world.
And the and really, the musicians astounded us too. There was so much musical talent in that room.
Same band for all five of them.
The band basically like transformed themselves to perform for all these, you know, different artists.
When they sat around Elvis and they all sat down and did sort of that like a little acoustic jam, and they did Suspicious Minds. Oh my gosh, it was killer. It was so good.
So
and
one
Burning
of the
Love.
Things that they were doing is they were showing footage behind on a TV screen, like on a big video screen. So like of the moment that was happening or that they were sort of like impersonating, they would show footage of that actual historical moment.
We can't go on together.
And while you're watching, your eyes are going back and forth between the impersonator and like the actual historical moment. And I can't tell you how many times I was like, this cannot be real. They cannot be that good.
And it was particularly for me, for Johnny, Elvis and Frank, right? And you thought Little Richard the same way.
He was like the warm-up. I mean, he was like fun and funny.
And they all jammed together at the end. They all came out and jammed together at the end. Now, they rotate this seasonally. So if you're going, check and see which legends they have during the season you're visiting. You might not get the same list that we had.
Yeah. So, but that was actually the Wax Museum, and then the Legends concert was a highlight. Now, out there also by Broadway at the Beach, we've been to one of the Pelicans games. They have the minor league baseball stadium
right out there.
Right. That was so much fun. We went there in the spring. I think we actually got to go to the opening night baseball game. And
they
love that. It's a great field. It's like, you know, you always feel so close at those minor league games.
We've done minor league games in a whole bunch of places. This is one of the best in terms of the stadium being nice, the quality of baseball being good. Cubs affiliate too, so there's that connection for the Cubbies fans out there.
Now, one other thing I want to mention, because it was a favorite on the last trip and the boys were begging to do it again, but we didn't let them because we were doing other things, was the Wonderworks Museum is there. Another activity that might be a good rainy day list. This is one of those, it's like a children's museum on steroids. It just has all those like rooms with the bubble experiments and the virtual reality where they can get into the different machines and like you feel like you're spinning around or going to the moon or whatever. It is a hands-on kind of a thing. They loved it.
To go back this time. We went here a couple times ago. We didn't go back. It's a bit of a more of expensive ticket price.
And it takes a lot of time. So I don't want to only spend my time in Myrtle Beach doing things like that.
But what didn't we like about it, just to warn people? Do you remember? If not, I'll say.
I don't.
There was like a lot of things in there that cost extra, like video games, right? And our boys
were at a point where it's like,
okay, we paid this admission price, and then we walked into this room that was filled with arcade games, and our boys wanted more money for that. So that was a little bit of a sticking point. So if you're totally opposed to that, just be aware that that's in there, and you will eventually walk into this arcade room.
Yeah, what I would do is before you go, I would look at all of the offerings in terms of those sort of, you know, ticketed entry experiences, like the Hollywood Wax Museum, the Wonderworks Museum, the Ripley's Aquarium, the Ripley's Believe It or Not place. I would look at a list of those and say, like, what do I think would be the biggest hit? And choose one.
Yeah, I mean, what's your top pick out of this list? I mean, if a family's going and has a limited budget and is just going to do one of these more ticketed...
I think it depends on your age. You know, the kids' age.
I think
Wonderworks was pretty good, but for older kids, I think.
I think the combo of Wonderworks and the Legends concert, if you take those two prices, ram them together, still a pretty reasonable price for a long night out with the family.
Yeah, absolutely. But you need a little bit older kids. We wouldn't have done that when our kids were super, super little, right? Like, there's some other stuff that you can do with the
true, though, Wes enjoyed the concert and was very excited to see Elvis.
Oh my gosh, he wouldn't stop.
I'm not sure that he really understands that they're impersonators either, which maybe explains how excited he was to see Elvis.
All right. So that is sort of that you know, that picture of Myrtle Beach, the rides, the flash, the shows that everybody pictures. But there's a lot more to Myrtle Beach, and that's what we're going to visit in our second segment.
When we go off the strand. So stay tuned. Thank you. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Before we head into segment two, Off the Strand, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Instagon.
Instagon Multipurpose Stain Remover is a non-corrosive stain remover for mold, mildew, and water stains. And they also make Quick 10, which is for carpet, upholstery, leather, and vinyl. If you are cleaning up those campers for winter storage, this is the perfect way to make sure that all the mold, mildew, and grime is gone. You can use the rest of it when you open it back up in the spring if you don't use it around the house over the winter like I do. Yeah.
You've been using it in the house quite a bit and in the RV.
All right. There's a special BOGO right now over on the website at Instagon.com. You can link in the show notes, and you can also get from your order $10 off coupon for your next one.
And it's buy one, get one half price.
Yep.
And they play that cool, groovy Instagon.
And you get Instagon music. All right.
Now, Off the Strand. Here's the deal with Myrtle Beach. You could go and have two very different types of vacations, or you could have a hybrid vacation. You could spend the whole vacation on the boardwalk and on the strand and eating seafood buffets and going on rides and playing mini golf. Or you could have a different vacation, a quieter vacation, a vacation that's more about exploring the natural world of coastal Carolinas. And it's gorgeous.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, the first time we went, this is pretty much all we did. We had gotten tons of recommendations from people that we knew that visited and everything. And really, in our first visit, we didn't go on any boardwalk rides. We didn't do any of, you know, the on the strand activities that we mentioned before. We got there and we fell in love with what we're calling these off the strand activities.
And what some people call the real wild side of Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
Right?
So this is really, this is a favorite. This segment, I think, is really at the heart of why we fell in love with Myrtle Beach and why we ended up going back so many times.
The other stuff's almost incidental to why we love Myrtle Beach.
Well, the other stuff we've been able to more enjoy since we've gone back, because we go, okay, well, we, you know, and we've done all this other stuff. So let's like dip our toes into the shows and stuff like that.
Now, let's start by talking about two fantastic state parks. Huntington Beach State Park and Myrtle Beach State Park are both really beautiful. They both have excellent campgrounds, okay? But even if you're not camping there, they are wonderful for a day trip to the beach. So no matter what campground you're at, if you want to have a nice beach day, I recommend Myrtle Beach State Park and Huntington Beach State Park. Why don't we start with Huntington? What makes Huntington special? And it is our favorite of the two.
Right. So Huntington Beach State Park is larger than Myrtle Beach State Park. It does definitely have a lot more going on in terms of its offerings and activities and everything. So first of all, it does just have a beautiful beach. Okay. This is a fantastic place to pack up all of your beach items and go there and spend the day there. A nice big beach.
And it feels remote. It feels quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, when you walk right up from the parking lot, there might be a few people on the beach, but if you walk over to the left or to the right, you can have a stretch of sand all to yourself.
Yeah. Now it also has, sort of a famous, what's called a causeway that when you first drive into the park, you're going to go across that. You can park in a parking lot beyond the causeway and then walk back to it. It's sort of a series of little hiking trails that are right around there. Well, along this causeway are alligators.
And right? Every time we've gone, there are alligators.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like you might see alligators.
Right.
I think you are going to see alligators.
You are, because this is brackish water. This is the salt marsh, right? And on the other side is the brackish water of the causeway. So they sort of like hang out there, unless the water on the other side, I think, gets less salty, if I'm remembering all of our science lessons that we learned while we were kayaking.
And a lot of birds congregate around the causeway as well. So it's like a hot spot for photographers and nature watchers and bird watchers and all that stuff. And it's a cool, you have to drive over it to get in.
Yeah. So I would not try to drive slowly and see it all. I would drive over, park, and walk back. It is phenomenal. It really, the bird watching is fantastic. There's little docks that you can walk out. And, you know, once you just start seeing the alligators, like, oh, and there's one.
Very
and there's
good tip, because there is actually a little parking lot on the other side of the causeway when you get there. So totally, don't just pull over. Go park.
Yeah.
Walk and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Now, while you're there, you also have to visit Atalaya. Mm-hmm. Do I say that correctly?
Yeah. So
it's a historic home on the property, and it's gorgeous and it's interesting, and it's a couple bucks extra to visit.
Yeah, but it's worth it because it's sort of abandoned and kind of crumbled. And they've done some like restoration in certain areas, but it's not a home that you think of when you think of a restored home, right? So there's all these parts that are just open to the sky.
And it's like brick, right? It's a very unique architecture.
Yeah. So it was built by a gentleman. I don't have all the
wealthy gentleman whose wife was ill, and he wanted to bring her there to have the fresh air off the ocean and the waters and everything.
Now, they do a lot of events and activities at the house.
Haunted house stuff right. in the fall.
Yeah.
So there's that big open courtyard in the mm-hmm. middle, which is a nice place to kind of like, a nice place to kind of hang out with the kids.
Yeah. But I would definitely not miss the chance to tour this house. It's gorgeous.
Now, sadly, the environmental center, there was a fire there recently. So it's not there anymore.
But they're working on They're bringing it back. They're building it and everything. So when they do, I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. I'm sure it's going to even
and hopefully
be better
than before.
I'm
thankfully,
sure
no one
yeah.
was hurt there, but they did lose the environmental center and some kind of electrical
I think it was
issue
hit by
or
lightning.
I think that sounds right. Yeah.
So now also they do have a ton of guided ranger programs at this park. I highly recommend going online before your visit. And there's a schedule online and it will tell you what the different ranger programs are while you're there. Really look, because they have guided walks through the dunes. They have birding. There are so many opportunities to really learn about the landscape.
And the South Carolina State Park system is pretty top class. You know, it feels a little bit more like going into a small national park. I mean, they are running
this park. I think
it's
a model. I really do.
It is a model. It should be a model for other state park systems in terms of just how many fun things are going on, and they have beautiful real estate.
And they're engaged on social media too, so you can follow them on social media and look
like SC State Parks
yeah,
or something.
And you know what's going on if you're following them on social media. I mean, like, you'll know, oh yeah, that was hit by lightning or something.
And there's
you know?
A whole there's another campground on the beach, mm-hmm. South Carolina State Park on the beach, further south. I don't know the name of it. It's supposed to be very quiet and a little bit more remote, but there's a campground there too.
Estadita?
I don't know.
Something
somebody
like
out there listening
yeah.
knows, but there are three on the ocean in mm-hmm. South Carolina, and then there's great ones near Greenville and all over the state. So check out SC State Parks. It's a great system.
Now, another state park in this system is the Myrtle Beach State Park. And again, we love to spend the day at this beach. It's a great beach, ample parking. You can go in, you can, you know, park yourself on the sand and just enjoy the day on the sand. It's just a little bit south of all of the sort of hubbub.
It's just far enough south.
Yeah.
To
easy
feel
to get to if
good
you're
parking.
Staying in the city. But
old bathrooms, but clean bathrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice playgrounds. A nature center
right.
that we really enjoyed, not on this last trip that we did, but a couple times before that. We really liked the nature center.
It's small, but I felt like it was very hands-on, and I felt like the volunteers that were attending it were very engaged with the kids when they came in. And they also have story time there and different activities, but it's intermittent. So again, that is something I would check before you visit it. And I have in the past. I've just gone online. I've downloaded the schedule and I've had it on my phone so that I could look. I didn't have to commit to the activities. But if we were thinking about going to Myrtle Beach State Park the next day, I pulled it up and I'd say, oh, there's a story time about picking up litter on the beach at 10 a.m. Let's just make sure we get there in time. And that just is something that can really enhance your time at a park like this.
Now, our elite pick, I think you'll agree with me, maybe our top pick for outdoor adventure in the Myrtle Beach area is to book a kayak tour with Black River Outdoor Center. We have done that twice over the course of two different trips, and we've done two of their tours. And
we've done three of their
tours. Three of their tours. And yeah. It is my favorite thing to do in Myrtle Beach is to book one of their tours. Paul and Richard, right?
Mm-hmm.
The son is Paul, the father's Richard. They are naturalists. They are entertainers. They are friendly and kind and generous.
Educators.
They make you so comfortable on these kayak tours. And we went right up to that causeway on the Salt Marsh tour. And we kayaked right next to the alligators.
Yeah. So we were down there this last time right after the hurricane. So it was really actually Huntington Beach State Park was closed and it was quiet. Okay, because the causeway had actually been damaged in
there
the flooding.
There was a park ranger on the causeway and some workers.
Yeah, and we talked to them a little bit.
Richard pulled right up and said hello to the park ranger and chatted.
Yeah, so the
as
water
alligators swam
was
by.
So high that we were able to go. This is a salt marsh tour. We were able to actually kayak back in places that you usually can't on this tour because the tide was so high. So here we were the only ones on the tour, the five of us, our whole family, and Richard. And he took us back to that causeway. And I had already done the salt marsh tour the last time we went.
I hadn't. It was my first salt marsh tour.
And This was so magical. We went up to that causeway. There were alligators
everywhere,
swimming.
I was a little nervous.
But he kept us.
Richard said, "Like you could jump in the water,
and they're going
to
skittish.
If you don't get they're skittish. You're nothing to worry about." Yeah. And I have to say, I had a little trepidation with how close we were to the alligators with like Wes in the kayak, mm-hmm. but they were just as casual as can be. Richard was, and no worries.
Well, he also really complimented the boys on how quiet and calm they were. So, he was saying, the boys just behaved so well and they were so calm and we were just able to enjoy all the birds. I could not believe the birds we saw on this trip. It was one of the most magical experiences. Now, like we said, we had been on also the
Cypress
Swamp Tour,
which was beautiful. We did that in April. Mm-hmm. That was magical. And it's really hard for me to pick a favorite out of the two. I might lean to the Cypress Swamp Tour because the colors were so beautiful in the spring. But I don't care which one you do. They're both elite experiences.
There's a lot of options here. You have sunrise things. You have sunset things. You have fishing ones. You have birding ones. You have 2-hour. You have 4-hour. There's lots of different options. And you can call, and Richard or his staff, they can really talk to you about what the good options are. Every single time that I've talked with them, they've done such a lovely job of listening to what our family is and saying, okay, well, how about this? How about that? They figured it out for the 5 of us to go together this time, which was awesome.
There was no trouble having Wes.
No.
There was no trouble at all having our 3-year-old with us.
Yeah, for 2 hours. And I brought a couple snacks and I didn't bust him out until towards the end and he was ready for them. But, this is what I want to say here on this show. We were talking about, sort of money on trips, right? And what we budget for these experiences. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to when you go somewhere on a trip and you have that idea of sort of what your budget is and you have an idea of what you want to do. And a lot of the time, the things that can kind of go to the side, and this is true for us, are some of these more sort of pricier, like guided tour experiences, like kayak tours or things like that. And I have to say that at the end of this tour, I said to Jeremy, you could go on these vacations and save money on every other thing. This is worth the splurge.
It is worth the splurge. Because
this is what you need to spend your money on.
It's an enriching experience for your soul.
The boys will never forget that.
It's the type of thing that makes our kids want to become naturalists and park rangers and kayakers. It's deeply inspiring to them and to me as well. And both Richard and Paul on these tours are so entertaining. They're such educators. I feel like I'm walking away with so much more knowledge about the geography and the nature in the area.
Richard showed the boys the laughing gulls and said, they're really hard. You have to tell them a really good joke to make them laugh. And the boys were telling the laughing gulls jokes that they knew, like knock-knock jokes as we were driving by. Those kinds of experiences, it was the same thing when we were down in Charleston. Remember, we talked about some of these tours that we took in Charleston and just how taking the time to spend that extra money. Remember at the plantation we went to, we went on that tram tour. It was extra money and we almost didn't do
it. And Max and Theo loved it.
And it made all of the difference for us enjoying that place.
And Black River, Richard and Paul are so friendly with the kids. It's not like the kids are a problem or an annoyance or detracting from the tour they want to give you. They make the kids part of the tour and the stars of the tour and bring them right into the center of it.
Yeah. And so this is in our book. We included this company, in our book. And I would say if I could tell you, if there's one thing that you do when you go to Myrtle Beach to say, I saw the hidden side of Myrtle Beach, right? The part that's behind all that glitz
and you're not
going
to go on a kayak ride yourself and go right up to that causeway next to the alligators. I just think that's very unlikely someone would do that and
you're
have the wherewithal and the understanding.
You're not going to get out of it. I mean, gosh, he taught us so much about everything in that area, just the ecology of the area and the history of the area. There is so much going on.
Smart dude.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
And he gave us a great recommendation for a brand new place to eat afterwards, but we'll save that for the food section. But again, we always talk to people and we say, where should we go? And he did that too. That's what it's all about.
So we'll circle back to food later, but Brook Green Gardens is next. And for a lot of people, that might be your elite outdoor mm-hmm. option. Brook Green Gardens is world-class botanical garden and so much more. It's not just that.
Yeah. So, it is the botanical gardens. They have an entire zoo kind of area, but the zoo is, of course, only full of, indigenous, right, animals, animals that are local to the area, and it shows them in their natural habitat as part of the marsh.
Which is really cool, kind of going into those marshes and seeing all the local birds there and everything. Like, you really just feel like you're hiking through a coastal South Carolina marsh.
Yeah, there's also an incredible children's garden that has it's like a playground, but it has these really fun
ships, yeah. Dr. Seuss mm-hmm. themed things. You could while away an hour or two there easily.
Oh, the kids love that. And then there's the butterfly house, which is open seasonally. I think like May through October.
It's been open every time we've been there, spring, summer, and fall. And there's also the indoor children's room. If it's a rainy day, it's a small room, but there's a lot for the kids to do there too. We always fit that in as well at Brook Green.
There's also extra ticketed activities. You can go on these boat tours. You can go on these there's like a tram tour that you can actually take. It's called the Safari. It's on this like truck kind of a thing. So those are extra ticketed items. And we weren't actually able to go on the boat the last time we were there because, again, the flooding was so amazing still after the hurricane. So there was some of that fallout. But there is enough here. And the nice thing is that your entrance actually gets you admittance for a whole week. So that's something to think about.
It is something you could do over the course of 2 days. If you want to save a little money, you could make it 2 days worth mm-hmm. of time there.
You could go like one day when you first get there and then do some other stuff and then go back towards the end of your vacation.
You could see two totally different things.
Yeah, so that would be my insider tip with Brook Green Gardens.
Now, we also loved the Barefoot Princess Riverboat, which takes you on this great riverboat ride with all kinds of funky and fun music. The kids get to steer the ship. And the ride is on the intercoastal
waterway.
And you go past the homes of all these celebrities. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of celebrities that live off the intercoastal waterway in South Carolina. You go past one of Jimmy Buffett's homes, one of Michael Jordan's homes, one of Johnny Depp's homes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's like Celebrity Row along there. But it's a nice, relaxing, fun, chill day. They play fun, funky music. The captain gives you a tour and tells you about all the homes as you go and some of the history of the waterway. And Max and Theo both got to actually legitimately steer the ship.
Yeah, they brought the kids in. Any kid that wanted to.
Any kid gave them that a chance. Wanted to.
Yeah,
it wasn't because we had press passes or media passes. Every kid could line up and go in and steer the ship a little bit.
Yeah. So this is like the opposite kind of a boat ride. It was
commercial, but just fun and just chilling out on the deck and soaking up the sun. It was very relaxing. And the prices were good on that.
Mm-hmm. So you also know, like everybody listening, you know that feeling of like being on the boat, having the cocktail, they're playing the music. It's just that sort of fun party atmosphere. And we had done so many things that were more like the kayaking and Brook Green Gardens.
That's what I love about Myrtle Beach, mm-hmm. that there's both types of experience, highly commercialized, but really fun, things like that. But then also you can escape into nature there as well. You can do both. Now, if you want to travel a bit further south, you're almost traveling to Charleston. And by the way, Charleston is a day trip.
You could just go day trip to Charleston.
So see our Charleston podcast from back in the spring. You could legitimately drive and do a day in Charleston, no problem, from Myrtle Beach. It's like just over an hour, mm-hmm. right? Now, but if you want to do something really cool that's maybe 50 minutes away, I think, if I remember correctly, the Center for Birds of Prey was really, really fun. Stephanie, tell us about that, and then let's make sure we tell people where we ate.
Oh, yeah. So the Center for Birds of Prey is actually a refuge, for obviously birds of prey being owls, hawks, bald eagles,
And an education center, big time.
Yeah. So when you get there, the first thing that you get is a guided tour. You're going to eventually, when you listen to our podcast,
get your child attacked by red ants.
Oh, yes.
If you tell them to stay, they're red ants, right?
Fire ants.
So your child might be attacked by them, particularly if you tell them to stay away from them and then they walk right over and step in them.
Yeah.
That could go badly.
In all fairness, we don't have them around here and they had no idea that
there they are, boys. Okay. Don't walk over there.
They're
and
digging.
One of our children, who will remain unnamed, walked right over to them.
Yeah, so we had a fire ant issue. But then we got on our merry way and we took a phenomenal tour where we learned more about, like good tours give you this insight into the world around you that you just, like, it, like, blows your mind.
We're tour nerds.
Like,
we
are tour nerds. The guide talked with us about vultures, right? And, like, how so much of our world hinges on vultures, right? These kinds of birds that eat carcasses and dead animals. And, like, he went into such detail that it was, like, fascinating. You're, like, sitting there hanging on his every word. And, you know, like, the stuff like that is just, it just blows your mind. You're like, wow, I just never thought of vultures in this way before. So he did a wonderful tour of all of these animals in the cages that they're in, and they all come as rescue birds. Either they've been hit by a car, right, maybe, or there's, for some reason, they've been injured.
There for these birds.
Right, exactly. So, and then the one that cannot be re-released into the wild obviously stay there. Now, there was the tour culminates with a demonstration.
A falconry demonstration, yeah. Which was incredible.
Unbelievable.
It was worth the whole trip there, yeah, for that. And like Stephanie, yeah, said, it's the culmination of the tour. And the volunteers there and the staff workers there just put on this falconry display that's incredible.
Yeah, they have the birds coming and swooping in and getting, you know, the fake, like, what do they call it, with the little rabbit, like, that they throw, they, like, run out the rabbit
and
everything.
Catch it in midair. It's incredible. And mm-hmm. It's great for a photographer, too, if you have the right lenses, which I didn't at the time.
You want to go back with your right lenses, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But the boys loved everything. We loved everything. We loved those places where really it's fascinatingly educational for both young and old.
Now, across the street is an amazing place to eat that we got out of Road Food. So we're going to come back in a second and talk about all the great food options in Myrtle Beach. And we're going to start with the one that's right across the street from the Center for Birds of Prey.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment 3 from our episode called Greetings from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. There's lots of good food in Myrtle Beach, man. There's all kinds of places to eat. You could just do the seafood buffets, but there's a whole world of very exquisite cuisine around Myrtle Beach. It's a foodie delight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's you can go high-end, you can go road foodie, and that's what we're going to start with.
So let's start at the Center for Birds of Prey. Now, this is what makes it such an awesome day trip to go for the Center for Birds of Prey. There is a world-class road food joint across the street.
It's called the Siwi Restaurant, and it really is that sort of roadside southern cooking dive. There's an outdoor eating area.
Very charming outdoor eating area.
Right.
Cozy and charming.
Good for families, obviously, or anybody, really. You can get a cold beer after your time at the Center for Birds of Prey. Sit outside.
With your fried green tomatoes.
Yeah.
And your okra.
Yeah. You can get them all, right? So every classic, you know, southern side that you can think of, what do you want to taste? You can get it here. You can get...
This is no tourist trap, people. This is the real deal, as real as it gets in terms of South Carolina road food.
Right.
Low country cuisine.
So everybody's happy, right? The boys had their, like, macaroni and cheese hush puppies. Now, our boys know what hush puppies are only because we travel south. You don't get hush puppies around where we live. So now they know when we're traveling south, they're basically judge restaurants based on their hush puppies. And these hush puppies ranked up pretty high. I think I got fried oysters here that were
the fried oysters
so
were rocking.
Good.
The ribs were good. Everything was good. Pulled pork sandwiches. Mm-hmm. There's everything's a home run here.
Yep.
And if Jane and Michael Stern put it in their road food book, you know it's good.
Yeah. Okay. So that's right down there by the Center for Birds of Prey. But let's move up north more towards Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, let's head back into Myrtle Beach.
So if you're driving back into Myrtle Beach, another option that's around Brook Green Gardens and Huntington Beach State Park, we actually put in our book, it's Biscuit. Right?
Some of the best cheeseburgers on the planet.
Well, you know, they're the kind, they have like pork belly in their cheeseburgers, right?
So it's would just you call them rich. Gourmet cheeseburgers?
Yeah, because they're very rich. They have lots of interesting, intricate, flavorful toppings. So there's, you know, yeah, they're gourmet. Everything about this place takes that sort of standard fare, a waffle, a pancake, because it's got like brunchy food and lunchy food,
milkshakes.
And it elevates it. So milkshakes are another. Yeah.
Shakes.
So milkshakes are another example of this. It takes a standard milkshake, but then they add lots of nice things to them, including adult beverages, right? Like you can get a really adult milkshake, or the kids can get a child milkshake, and they're delicious.
And again, this is just kind of a hip, charming, more modern place. It's not the divey type place at all.
Oh, no, this is more
hip. It's got sort of a hip, modern, higher end feel to it at a pretty reasonable price, but definitely worth, again, coupling with Brook Green Gardens.
Yeah, or Huntington Beach State Park if you're going there. Either of those. This is, you know, so yeah, I would definitely recommend wrapping that up. Now, let's.
It's in a cool little shopping center, too. There's some little, you know, some shopping to do there as well after you eat.
All right, let's go a little bit up north. We've got two restaurants that we can recommend along the Marsh Walk. Okay, so there's this area, the Marsh Walk, and it's, I would say, maybe not 5 minutes north of Huntington Beach State Park. So we actually went to one of these. We've been there a couple times in this area, but we went to Graham's Landing in Murrells Inlet. This is Murrells Inlet just after we did the kayak tour.
Recommended by Richard.
Right. So we actually had another plan, but we always change our plans based on local recommendations. And we went to Graham's Landing because Richard said they have the best shrimp and grits. And if you tell me that someplace has good shrimp and grits, I'm there.
And did you agree?
Yeah, they were delicious. You loved them too. You tried.
I love them too.
I don't even remember what anybody else had.
Did you think too much salt, or am I imagining?
No,
that?
No. I said it was a little over salted.
But other than that, awesome.
Everything else was good.
And it is that bar and grill feel, casual, feel, you know, very shorts and t-shirt kind of place.
We were so gross after a 2 hour kayak ride.
But it didn't matter.
And it didn't matter.
We felt comfortable.
We felt so comfortable. And they have the outdoor seating. So right there in Murrells Inlet, along that marsh walk, all the restaurants are right there on the marsh. So really nice views. Beautiful at sunset. I mean, just gorgeous colors. But you can sit outside on the back deck of this restaurant and have a great view. You have to have that view if you're going to eat down here in Murrells
Inlet. Yeah, I'd say if you want something that's casual and, you know, and really like straightforward, good quality Myrtle Beach restaurant.
Okay, but now in that same area, Murrells Inlet, what if you want something a little fancy?
If you want something a little fancy, this was maybe, I don't know if it's the best meal of my life. It was one of the best top 10 meals of my life at this place.
It was.
And it
really
was also the view and the beauty of it and the fun of it. Mm-hmm. The food was amazing.
At Wicked Tuna.
This was in a dining experience.
Yeah, Wicked Tuna has, I think, over 500 seats. It is enormous. It is a huge restaurant, but it's spread out in sections.
Well, there's like five different areas.
Yes, there's a sushi bar area. There's a deck area. There's an indoor dining area. There's like an outside tiki bar area.
Sit on the outside deck.
Yeah.
If it's warm enough, if the weather's good, the sunset will be beautiful. It is a memorable view and a great place to eat great food.
It felt like you were in a postcard. You know, we sat out there on that deck, and the all of the docks, the boats come right in there. So Wicked Tuna actually charters its own fleet of fishing boats. This is the only restaurant in Myrtle Beach that is actually catching all of its fish on its own boats and bringing them
in. And selling that fish to other restaurants.
Right.
And the operation's right below the restaurant.
And we actually got a tour of the freezers with the fish. The manager brought us, and they showed us the lockers where the fish that had been caught that day. And the ice, the huge piles of ice in these fish were lying, and the snapper, it was unbelievable. The boys had such a blast. But this is fish. They're bringing it off the boats and they're preparing it in the kitchen.
It's an amazing place for seafood. Also an amazing place for a very high-end steak. A great place for...
We had surf and turf.
Surf and turf.
We also had some sushi for an appetizer.
The sushi was really beautiful.
Yeah. The boys had crab cakes and they loved their crab cakes.
But back to the sushi for a second. It was like artistically presented.
Right. So I had something called a dragon egg. Okay. And that was sort of this, it was an avocado, right? So that's your dragon egg sort of a thing. And then it had a spicy tuna like stuffed inside of it. So it was this whole presentation of a dragon egg with like the fish roe on the outside and everything. It was definitely a special meal.
Everything about this meal from beginning to end was special.
Including the dessert tray, because that was the first time our boys have ever ordered. We don't really take them to fancy restaurants.
Right. We got tiramisu. What else did we get?
The dessert tray came out, and the boys had never had the experience of like ordering off of a dessert tray. And they ordered a creme brulee.
Which was very good.
And a tiramisu.
Very good.
And I don't remember what else we had. There was a third.
Well, some of the, I think Wesley got ice cream.
He got ice cream. But then there was a third dessert that we got, like, off of the tray.
Some kind of a chocolate cake. And I think everything. We tried all of them.
The boys loved the tiramisu and the creme brulee, though, and I was kind of happy about that. But it was funny because they ordered it, and then, of course, they took away the tray, and the boys are like, what's going on? I'm like, no.
This is an expensive meal, and it should be, and it deserves to be, because the environment's wonderful. The view is wonderful. All of the food is wonderful. Nothing disappointed at this meal. So if you want a luxurious meal, this is our top recommendation.
A special night out. Can I recommend going, if you're going to splurge on a meal here, go during an off time. Like, I mean, just a little early or a little later. You know, this is a huge restaurant, but it's also a really popular restaurant. And, you know, if you go at 7 o'clock on a Friday or Saturday night,
you might not be able to sit outside.
You're going to have an hour and a half wait, maybe. Like, from what we hear, there's a wait
there
all the time.
And I felt part of what you're paying for is the view. Mm-hmm. So really try and get there when you can sit outside on a warm night.
Now, if you really want to go casual, though, you can also go down to that tiki bar, and they have like a bar menu kind of thing.
And it's like you're in a different place.
You're in the world right there on the water, though. You have to make it down to Merle's and let, even if it's just for a drink right there on the marsh walk during your trip.
Now, there are so many other great places to eat.
All right, let's move north, okay?
We're going to go north
to the Myrtle Beach KOA. Almost directly across the street from the Myrtle Beach KOA is the Noisy Oyster. So if you want a great dinner right around the corner from staying at the Myrtle Beach KOA, if you're taking our recommendation and staying there, the Noisy Oyster is a great place to
do a little bit
that.
More. It's kind of like halfway between like the bar and grill and the road food joint. It sort of exists midway.
It feels like a joint, right? Like a roadside joint.
Feels like
joint.
A local joint, not touristy. Food
it's like
is reasonably priced.
Scruffed up floors and everything. It has like the chalkboard walls where things are written. They have the whole roll bar, right? Like you can get the oysters
creative
and everything.
Things on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not just standard fare.
No, it was delicious. Again, our boys tasted the crab cakes throughout the entire, you know, south, all of Myrtle Beach. That's their favorite.
I'm
but
so
that's
glad they're
good.
Getting off cheeseburgers.
Yeah. So exactly. Well, that's the thing is that we're trying to move them away from that kind of a thing and like find their other niches. But this is great seafood for us. If we want to eat seafood, we want to go to a place like this. I don't find seafood buffets to be either appealing or sort of economically.
You don't like any buffet for any reason. She does not like buffets.
I like the buffets in like, you know, Vegas and Atlantic City, like the ones that have prime rib. Like you can just eat prime rib, but that's it.
So this is a great, if you're staying at the Myrtle Beach KOA, this is a place where you can get to quickly, get in and out of quickly.
They have local beers on
for
tap.
A casual but creative meal.
Yeah. It's very easy.
Good place
very
to go watch a ball game too. Like we were watching
TVs,
the World Series, lots
exactly.
of TVs. Not a sports bar by any stretch of the imagination, but if you want to go watch a game or something like that, not a bad place.
All right. Oh, they have like fish tacos and stuff like that too. That kind of casual, like,
fish
you know,
tacos are very good.
The fish tacos were delicious. All right. We're still going north. This might have been, I don't know, like
Johnny D's Waffles.
Yeah.
Is it Johnny D's Waffles
or Johnny D's
Waffle House?
Johnny D's Waffle House and Bakery.
All-time favorite.
Just a moment of silence.
An all-time, the red velvet waffle.
Yeah.
So light, so fluffy.
Yeah.
So Chef, waffle-icious.
We ate here on one of our first mornings in Myrtle Beach this time. It's not brand new, but we hadn't been there before. And I was blown away, like officially blown away, because it has this sort of feeling of a Jersey diner, right? If you're from around this area, the Tri-City area, you get this Jersey diner feeling where the menu is extensive, right? It's just pages and pages with the pictures of the food.
And Jersey diner prices on exquisite
Absolutely.
Exquisite food.
So there'll be a whole page of waffle options. A whole
chicken and waffles,
page.
The red velvet waffle. What was that cinnamon waffle with that cinnamon drip on it? What was that?
I don't know what the name is. I don't have it in front of me. But there's just pages and pages. So I said to Chef Jamie, I get this like sort of Jersey diner kind of vibe here, but like elevate it. And she said, well, my family comes from, her father owned six Jersey diners in the North Jersey, New York
area. The girl
area.
Called it. But, the, but like, the word elevated is cake.
But Chef Jamie went to the Culinary Institute, okay, in New York State. So here, this woman who had been sort of just, you know, raised in this diner environment, then she goes, you know, to the Culinary Institute, Culinary Art Institute, no, the Culinary Institute of Arts.
America or something.
CIA, yeah.
The place where they teach you to make amazing waffles.
So she goes there. So I think that it was like she took all of her, you know, heritage and then it combined with that education, that food education, to make this like magical Waffle House in the South. And it really is
it
unbelievable.
It has that fun Jersey diner vibe too, but then you're getting food that's like their waffles have been on television.
Yeah. So the waffles were amazing because the actual waffle has flavor. It's not just about the toppings. It's like the actual cake waffle is
delicious.
It's
a marriage made in heaven. Here's everything you need to know. We went there twice.
Yeah.
We, as travel writers, are always trying to go to as many places as we can to get as many places as we can into the article for recommendations. We just had to go back because there was literally things on the menu like, I have to go taste that because I couldn't have it last time.
And one of my favorite things is I'm not actually a fan of sweet breakfast. So everybody else in the family is. They all love that. But I really like a savory breakfast. So I prefer more eggs. Like I'm like the Eggs Benedict kind of person. Well, she has these skillets that are just perfectly delicious. So I got like, you know, this sort of Mexican skillet that had the eggs and the potato and the jalapeno. And it was my perfect breakfast. That's what I like. You know, like I'm the kind of person.
You're smiling from ear to ear with everybody.
Love it. That's if I could, if Chef Jamie could make me breakfast, it makes me sad. This is the kind of thing, if you travel a lot, these are the kind of places that make you sad because I think, how do I live in a place without a Johnny D's?
I don't think there's a Johnny D's at every location.
Like, how do you live without Johnny D's? Because all I'm going to do is I'm just going to miss Johnny D's.
Dangerous place in that sense.
You just miss it. Like,
I do.
Wow.
Let me tell you this. If we, next time
I was giving you a cue there for singing.
Next time, singing what?
I thought you were going to break into like, how do I live?
You yell at me when I sing.
I know.
Here's the deal. We go back to Myrtle Beach. Our first morning we wake up, we're going to Johnny D's.
Every time. Every single time. I love it. And I just wish, you know, Chef Jamie could replicate herself and just exist in cities all over the country. And we could just always guarantee that no matter where we go, there was Johnny D's there.
Red velvet waffle
yeah.
with a cream cheese little sauce on it.
Well, it has like a cream cheese
just
glaze,
just
frosting
glazed,
kind of a thing.
Just drizzled lightly on it.
I know, so
just
good.
Just drizzled.
All right. So those are our top recommendations for eating in Myrtle Beach. There's a whole area called Restaurant Row. There's restaurants everywhere in Myrtle Beach. We've eaten at a lot of them. These are just our very top
Look, Myrtle
picks.
Beach has everything but mountains. There's just so many elements of a great RV vacation in Myrtle Beach, and that's why we put it in the Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations as one of the 40 great RV vacations in the country.
All right. Make sure you let us know anything else that you love about Myrtle Beach. We'd love to hear your feedback. We'll love to share with other people what your recommendations are. Thank you so much. And make sure that you check out our review of the Myrtle Beach KOA, which is partnered with this episode over on Campground of the Week.
And in the spring, if you go back to April, we did the same thing with Charleston. We reviewed James Island County Park on Campground of the Week, and we did a whole episode on Charleston, so check that out too. We'll be back in a second to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for listening to episode 115 of RV Family Travel Atlas. Greetings from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hey, we haven't asked in a while. If you haven't left us an iTunes review, we sure would appreciate it if you did that for both Campground of the Week and for this one. And also make sure you go over and subscribe to Girl Camper. Now, I'm going to put Stephanie on the spot because I love to put Stephanie on the spot. Charleston or Myrtle Beach? You have to decide. You can't cop
just,
out.
Okay, I'm going to decide Charleston because we've just been to Myrtle Beach four times and we only went to Charleston once and I want to go back.
I'm in the same place, yeah. We've done Myrtle Beach four times and we just, you know, if it's next time we're in South Carolina, it's Charleston.
Yeah.
And it's largely because we've only been to Charleston once.
I can't wait to see more of Charleston. I just really love the coastal Carolinas.
And there's the history element to Charleston that I don't want to say is lacking in Myrtle Beach, but Charleston, of course, is a major city with a major part of American history.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much to our sponsors, to Instagon and to Cabela's and to Progressive Insurance.
And Progressive wants you to know when you sign up for an RV policy, you can also sign up for total loss replacement, which is optional protection that replaces your new RV with a current model if it's declared a total loss in the first 2 years. Get a quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. today. Hey, I want to say one more thing about insurance, because last week I mentioned that we had heard all that stuff about insurance. Well, somebody else had commented on our forum and they unfortunately got their trailer stolen. And I want to say that on Girl Camper, there was an episode on trailer theft and different ways to prevent it. Go listen to that. But also, this person on the forum mentioned that they didn't have personal effects insurance. They didn't have like coverage for their own personal belongings in the trailer, and they regretted that. So we just heard that from somebody else. Check out your policy and make sure that all of the things that are covered in your trailer.
I mean, let's face it, a lot of us travel with thousands of dollars.
Exactly. So just another reminder from a real life experience, you know?
Okay. Thank you again for listening to this episode on Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We will see you at the campground, and I'd love to see you at a warm campground in South Carolina.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.